I'm not. I'm hungry for God. If it's okay with Steve, what I want us to do before I bring this message about prayer and fasting, I was challenged in two ways, in many ways, during the worship time. And wasn't it absolutely fantastic? Did you connect with God? I did. I think there's a pool of tears down there. I was so encouraged by Adam and Amy sharing about yesterday and about their meeting with God, and God saying to Adam, stop it, and to Amy, do it, all right? And I thought, yeah, stop it and do it. And I think sometimes there's strongholds in our lives that God wants, he'll bring them to the surface, areas of our life that we kind of don't want to let go of, or we're struggling with, and what God wants to do is to break the strongholds. We were singing about pushing down walls. So that was one area that I really feel God spoke to me and the church about. The other is, bless her, Shiji. Bless her. You are, Shiji, a living witness to the healing power of God. All right? She is. You are. And we love you, Shiji. And what I want us to do today, I'm a firm believer in the biblical principle of corporate ministry to one another. And I don't think Adam and Amy and Shiji are the only ones here today that my God might want to say, stop it. Stop doing that. That is destroying your spiritual life. Or, do it. Step out in faith. And the other thing is that, the reason why I'm sharing this, there is a reason. Because I want you to exercise your faith today. If there's people here who can relate to that fact where God might be saying, stop it, don't be doing that, then you know. If somebody's saying, but do it, don't hold back, do it. If you're that person, you know. The other thing is that I believe today there are people here who needs God's healing hand. One of the names of God in the Old Testament is Jehovah Rophe, the God who heals. And I believe that. And so what I want us all to do today is, if you are a stop it, you are a do it, or you are one that needs a touch from God, could you put your hand across your chest? And if you think, no, I'm doing everything, that's right. Then I want you to pray for the rest of the folk. And I'm going to lead us in prayer because I believe God is here. Without a doubt. And it's not just the message that God wants you to hear. He wants you to respond. And you can respond now to what God wants to do through you for other people. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to have a look at God's word. Heavenly Father, I do thank you that you still meet with your people on this day, in this place. And I believe, Lord, that there are people here that you are not pointing fingers at, that you're just bringing a gentle conviction. And you want to say, enough's enough. You're in this cycle of sin and repentance. And God wants you to break out of it. And so I pray, Lord, if there's people here who are in that position, who want to let go of it, who don't want to be defeated by it, Lord, it says in your word that we are no longer slaves to sin. We can say no in your strength to sin. And so I pray, Lord, break this chain. I want to pray also, Lord, for a reticence in some people's lives to let go, not just in worship, but to let go of earthly crutches and places where they seek security and acceptance and satisfaction, to let go of those things and feast their eyes on you. You are our place of security. We are fully, utterly accepted, all because of what Jesus has done. And I do pray for people who need physical, mental, spiritual, psychological healing today. I pray, Lord, you want to heal. And I pray in your mighty name, Jesus, that you would heal. That you would put right what's gone wrong. I pray, Lord, that you will just expect you to work amongst us this morning. I pray, Lord, also for open hearts. I pray, Lord, that we will drink in, Holy Spirit, what you want to say to us through the words and between the words as well. The special things that you have for us, they've got our name on it, and you want us to hear them. And I just pray, Lord, that all this for your glory. For your glory, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm so excited. And I remember Adam saying to me just before we sat down and started worshipping, I'm so excited to be bringing this message. I've been poring over it for weeks. And Lynn knows I've been disappearing, revamping, revamping, even only this morning. I was just reading through what I believe God wanted me to say. And God tweaked it. Because I believe God's word is living, a preacher's living, right? And I'm so excited that you, the church at Blackburn, is planning to set aside a time of fasting and praying in the run-up to Easter. I keep looking up my watch. I don't know why, because there's a clock up there. You put a new battery in just for me, haven't you? Yes, I knew. So I can't say the clock stopped. It's so encouraging that the church here, it's encouraging when any church is together seeking God's face. Why? For the next phase in your life, not and your lives as individuals with God, and that's so important. But equally as important is your life and mission as a church together. And there is no better person to seek about that than God himself. And so I'm just so excited. And I feel very privileged that Steve has asked me to come today. I wasn't going to say this, but I am. To kick the ball off today. All right? That sounds very unpreachable, Oh, well, shouldn't say it, okay? But I feel, I hope God will just use me that way today to bring this first message about fasting and praying. And my heart's desire today is it might prove useful to you. It might prove useful. That you don't get condemned. You don't, anything like that. It just might be God's good news to you this morning. And it doesn't matter whether you fasted before or you've fasted many times. I hope today I'm going to give you some useful information from the scriptures about the importance of these two things. Now, this morning, I want us to consider what I believe to be one of the most important passages about fasting in the Bible. And it's found in Matthew chapter 6. If you know Matthew chapter 6, you'll know that in Matthew, that's where the Lord's Prayer is to be found. So if you can turn to that. And I want us to read from verse 5 through to verse 18. You'll see the link between praying and fasting in this passage. And I believe it's one of the most important ones because it's Jesus talking. You see, there's our authority. And when you pray, this is what Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. And then we get the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's Jesus's take on praying and fasting. Now, I want to begin by saying that anyone at all who wants to try to understand the relationship between fasting and praying, both in their own spiritual lives and in the life of the church, I want to say it is not a superficial thing. All right, it's a deep thing. And I want to say it's not for the faint-hearted. Because when God's word gets hold of you, you know about it. when you are wholeheartedly out to do things God's way and open to that, it is radical discipleship. And we are called to radical discipleship. All right? Radical discipleship in Jesus. You see, prayer and fasting are not deed-orientated activities. In other words, they're not works, primarily. They're primarily about the heart. So they're heart-orientated. That's what God is always wanting to do, to speak to our hearts and our minds. It's not about so much the external deeds and the works. It's really what's going on in our heart that God is, I believe, most concerned about. And so fasting, I believe fasting is an opportunity for me and for you to measure and to demonstrate the deep longing of our hearts for God. It's an expression of it towards God. Because we want to see God move more and more in his sovereignty and his power, both in our lives and through the church. How hungry? Who's had breakfast this morning? Okay, hands down. Who hasn't had breakfast this morning? Okay, right. So there might be four who are admitting that they might be hungry. All right? But my question to everyone this morning is, how hungry are you for God? How hungry? How hungry are you? How hungry am I for God? Now, I've got 4 points. Sorry, not three. I've got four. Firstly, the first point is this. Now, you might be thinking, Andy, should we still fast today? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but that's the first question. The first question that came to my mind about particularly verses 16 and 18. That's where I'll be homing in on. But you'll see the relationship between the earlier verses a little bit later. For example, in verses 16 to 18, in verses 16 to 18, we see that Jesus does not command us to fast. Did you know that? He does not say to us, you must fast. He doesn't say that. He does assume that we will. And that's very different. Now, why do I say that? Well, it says in verses 16 and 18, Jesus simply says to them, he doesn't say, if you fast. He says, when you fast. Have you got that? Got the difference between that? He also says in verses 5 to 7, and when you pray. The same phrase, when you fast, when you pray. I find it interesting. Most Christians believe that Christians should pray regularly. But how many Christians, how many of us realize that God wants us to fast regularly? You might be thinking, I didn't realize the Bible taught that. I've never been taught that before, the link between praying and fasting. According to Jesus here, praying and fasting should be and should become important vital, spiritual activities practiced by every believer regularly. Remember what I said. I don't want you to feel condemned or guilty. But this is what God's word's saying to us. You see, fasting is not just for super OTT Christians. It's not. It's not for just church leaders to do, or for the church to do, or us to do on special occasions. Like, for example, Lent. Some people have through Lent, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to give up this. I'm going to give up that. I'd like to say, hey, Lent, let me do this, not give up that. Fasting can be for guidance in your life. I remember fasting about when I went to Bible college, and I think it was only the first 3 days I fasted completely, because I wanted the next 2 years to count. And that was some years ago, probably before maybe half of you weren't born. All right. And so I think there's special times when you want God to speak to you, or in a crisis, in a need. You know, I came across a letter written by somebody on the American Senate to Abraham Lincoln on the 30th of March. Now, I don't go wading through old papers like that often, all right? But this letter was all about, the Senate decided, we are going to advise President Abraham Lincoln to set a national day of humiliation, prayer, and fasting. And they mentioned a month from the date of this letter. So I worked it out. The 30th of April, 1873. Because they were so bothered about the spiritual state of the nation back then. When a nation is in a crisis, they did that. Would they do it now? I don't know. But they did it then. And I believe that we've got to be open to God, to lay upon our hearts time when he wants us to pray and times when he wants us to fast. So, suppose my next question to you is, are you sensitive? Do you want God to speak to you about these things? Now, there's no record of the disciples ever fasting while Jesus was with them. Jesus did, as you all know, 40 days in the wilderness after being the Spirit coming upon him at his baptism. The Lord led him out, the Spirit led him out into the wilderness to be tested. The other way you can translate that word is tempted. And he was for 40 days. But there's no record of the disciples ever doing it when Jesus was with them. Now, if we look in various places, particularly about the early church, and you'll find that in the book of Acts, particularly in Acts chapter 13 and 14, we see that fasting and praying is taking place at vital times in the life of the church. In Acts chapter 13, it says prophets and teachers gathered together at that place where believers were first called Christians, in a place called Antioch, to seek God's guidance with regard to the ongoing work and expansion in the future. Now, does that sound like where you're at? Expansion in the church? What should we be doing? Now, they were there in Acts 13. And let's have a strategy meeting. Let's gather together, anybody who wants, and we're just going to have a free fall, and let's just say what we believe God wants us to do. No, what they did, they sought God first, and it was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that initiated this. And what happened? It says that Paul and Barnabas, you'll find him a little bit earlier on in the book of Acts, gave a piece of land, Cyprus I think it was, or somewhere, and they were set aside, commissioned by God, by the Holy Spirit, to take the gospel, ultimately, we find in a place called Macedonia. That was his, it developed into his first missionary journey. Now, it seems to me that the early church, they actually, if we want to know what God wants us to do, then we're going to ask God what he wants us to do. All right? In Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas, it says, were fasting and praying. And do you know what they were fasting and praying about? They wanted to appoint elders to the churches in Lystra, Iconium and Antioch. Now we could say, hey, you know, how do you fancy him? Or her? No, they sought God about it. Because it was important. So here we find the church fasting and praying on two different occasions. Now it seems to me the earliest Christians took Jesus' words here to mean that fasting and praying would continue at different strategic times in different places, in different ways and for different reasons in this church age. In Matthew 9 and verse 15, Jesus was once asked by John the Baptist's disciples, why are we fasting, John the Baptist's disciples, and your disciples aren't? And that was it was a very interesting question to ask. And Jesus told them a word, described to them a word picture. He said, well, when the bridegroom is with you, fasting isn't the right thing to do. But there will come a time when you will fast. It's when the bridegroom is taken from you. Now, in the Old Testament, this whole thing about God being the bridegroom and the church is the bride of Christ, or it talks about God as husband in Isaiah and the people of God, Israel, about a wife. So Jesus is using this picture. So when Jesus ascended to heaven, 40 days after he ascended, the people came together. 10 days later, you know, Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them. But Jesus is coming back again. And he wants us to know that this is the church age. This is when he wants his people to be seeking him, fasting and praying till Jesus comes again, till the bridegroom comes again. So we're all still called to fast and to pray. I believe that praying and fasting are God-ordained activities. And they enable us to seek to know God better. All right? To help us discover best way to take hold of God's promises and to do God's will, God's way, so that we can what? It's all to bring glory to God. It's not for our plans to succeed, but they will succeed. It's to bring glory to God. So I want to encourage you from this first point, as it were, today. I want you, will you respond to be able to step out in faith? I'm going to get behind this, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to seek God's glory. Will you give yourself to fasting and praying? Now, Steve's not asked me to say this. I'm excited. I nearly phoned him up yesterday just to say, Steve, you are doing something radical, but marvelous. Setting aside time specifically to seek God. Now the second thing. It's interesting. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 18, what does Jesus now proceed to do? He teaches us how not to fast and pray. It's interesting, isn't it? He doesn't start with how to do it. He starts with, this isn't the way to do it. I believe that there are perils, there are dangers associated with even something like fasting. So what are we to look out for if we're going to fast? Well, there are physical, medical, health issues and problems associated with fasting. Your doctors will tell you, the nurses will tell you, the medical profession will tell you, the internet, Mr. Internet, he will tell you. Jesus doesn't. You see, Jesus is more concerned about the spiritual dangers associated with fasting in the wrong way. And he sees them as far more deadly than physical things. Why? Because they can leave us wide open to spiritual attack. They will. And they could bring injury to us. Spiritual injury to us if we're not aware of them. Now Jesus said, when you fast, don't look somber or gloomy as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by other people. Now what's Jesus saying here? There's a danger of being, when you fast, a hypocrite. Sounds a bit radical, doesn't it? Fasting, oh, that's super spiritual, that's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, but you can fast the wrong way for the wrong reasons. Why? And what's the wrong reason? Because you want to be seen by other people that we are fasting. It's so subtle. Certain people want to appear, I am, look at me, I am super spiritual. Oh, I'll look gloomy and I'll have a big long face because I'm fasting for God. People do that. Have you ever felt like that? Doing anything for God? I think we all know what it feels like, because I think it's inherent in the sinful nature, this whole thing of being a religious hypocrite. We all love the praise of other people. We want people to know and to notice and to tell us, ah, Andy, how spiritual you are. Oh, it just inflates my ego. It puffs me up. It refuels my ego. It really does, and it does it to each one of us when we do it like that. You know, there are some people who will do anything, even fasting, to get men's applause. Now, the Pharisees did it. They did it every Tuesday and every Thursday. Did you know that? They were keen. And what did Jesus call the Pharisees and the scribes? You hypocrites. Because you're doing it because you want to be seen. Now, it is deadly and it's destructive in our lives. But guess what? If that's why you do it, people will see. and your ego and my ego will get inflated. And we'll think, yay, I am so good. I am so spiritual. But you know, that's all the fruit we'll get. Just a big ego. No, I don't want a big ego. My ego's big enough. You can smile there. Okay. Whew, bit of relief. All right. Through this kind of fasting, there's not going to be any spiritual fruit. There's no deeper intimacy with God, because that's primarily not what you're seeking. There's no further empowering of your life by God. No further filling of your heart, flooding in of the Holy Spirit. What do we get? Empty praise from men and women. That's what you want. You'll get it. You'll get it. But Jesus says to such people, you fool. Andy, you fool. If that's why you do it, you hypocrite, you man pleaser. And my prayer, as I thought about this, is, Lord, protect me from this kind of fasting. Protect me from the way of the hypocrite. Lord, show me the way. And that's what God does in the next point, the third point. Jesus goes on to show us in verses 17 and 18 how to fast, how to pray in a godly way. What's the right motives? What's the right way for us to pray and to fast? Are we always to do it then? Secretly? Are we always to do it privately? I did share about those public fasts that the prophets and the teachers and the leaders did in Acts 13. And then Barnabas and Paul did in Acts chapter 14. All right? Was that okay for them to do that? You might think, well, you've just described to us, we've got a record of these guys praying and fasting. So did they do it the wrong way? What happens if people see you're fasting? In other words, you're not eating. That's an indication that you fast, isn't it? You don't eat at a meal. You don't go into a restaurant and when you're fasting and say, right, I'm sat here because I'm fasting at lunchtime. All right? You don't do that. Let's imagine you're just going to step out in faith and most people here are going to go to work tomorrow. And you decide, I'm going to fast lunches. But I've got a staff room if I'm a teacher, or I've got the canteen if I work in other places. And so you come in and you sit down and everybody seems to sit on your table, don't they, at that point? And they get out the lunch boxes. And you don't. And you sit there. Now some would say, don't sit there. Because you might be asked the question. But what happens if you just say, hey, Andy, are you not eating? Well, no. Are you not well? How do I get out of this? Well, no. No, I wouldn't say. Well, I'm not eating lunches. Oh. So why is that then? Well, our church is seeking God. Especially. And one of the ways the Bible tells us to do that might help us, is fasting and praying. Oh, do you want one of my sandwiches? No, really? All right? And it's, it's not like that. And you say, well, there's a difference between being seen fasting and fasting to be seen. You got the difference? fasting to be seen is you're hypocrite. Being seen fasting is it happens by chance. Just come along. And God isn't going, oh, you've been caught out here. No, it doesn't. That's not. Because you see, it's all about the motive. And my motive for fasting wasn't to be seen. It was to seek God. Hypocrisy is a heart issue. The fourth thing. This is the last point. I can't believe. Oh, right. Oh, sorry. Keep looking and there it is. Right. The fourth point that Jesus teaches about fasting here. And he says, your father, when you fast the right way, your father sees you in secret and will repay you. That's what it says in, I think it's the RSV. And in the NIV, which I read from, it says reward you. Now, God wants us to fast. Not to be seen by God, by men, but he does want us to fast, to be seen by God. Now you say, well, God's everywhere, so of course he sees us. Yes, but God wants to see us fasting. It's not wrong to want God to see us when we're fasting. Because when we're fasting before God in the right way, we're saying to God, Lord, you see my hunger. You see my hunger. You see my desire. You see my longing for you. Lord, I'm desperate for you. How desperate will you get over the next 35 days? By the way, Steve, I would say yesterday, I'm joining with you. Fasting and praying. I've never done a 35-day fast. I might even push it to do a 40. And then I can really brag about, hey, I've done 40 days. No. All right? But I think it's exciting. I long for you more in my life. My life is nothing without you. That's what we're saying. I want more of you, Lord. So let your glory fall. That's why I'm going to fast. I want to see that happen. I believe also, and maybe this is a bit of a thing because we're a bit thick, right, about the whole spiritual life thing. In fasting, I believe that God is showing us, as we're fasting, hey, this is a true measure. One of the true ways to measure and to know the reality and the depth of his lordship in my life. So easy to say, Lord Jesus, you're the Lord of my life, but I'm still going to have my lunch. I'm still going to have my breakfast. But to let it go for God's glory, to seek God. In verse 18, Jesus makes a promise about what the Father will do for those who solely focus in their fasting on him and not on men's praise. He says, I'll repay you. Now, you've got to watch it a little bit here when it says repay you. Because if I lend you some money, what do? You repay me. Because I've given you something and you repay me, okay? So that's how we use it in English. And that's the way this word is translated. The word, I'm no Greek scholar, but the word is apodosei. So we say that together? Apodosei, all right? And yes, it is often translated like that in other places, but it doesn't mean because we fast, God will give us what we bring to him. Because that's blackmail. My fasting somehow doesn't force God to somehow reward me in that way. Because you see, deep down in the gospel, if we only fasted for what we got, We're actually saying to God, my works for you work. And they don't in our salvation. It's all of God's grace, all of God's mercy. So, and fasting works in the same way. You know, it's not you get one of these tire irons and you somehow through fasting, you're forcing blessing from God. It's not like that. God loves to bless his people. He does. He loves to bless. When we don't deserve it, God wants to bless us. That's what mercy means. Getting something that you don't deserve. And that is what God wants to do. Now, it's also not wrong, and I thought about this, it's not wrong to seek reward from God, a response from God when we fast. Why? Because if it was wrong, Jesus wouldn't tell us. He wouldn't tell us to do something and expect something if it was wrong. So we have to look for the rewards. And God will reward us. In what ways? Now, the reason why I included, I'm sorry for taking long, Adam. I'll be soon finished. Okay. In that early part of Matthew chapter 6, when you begin to look at the Lord's Prayer, I thought, Lord, in what ways do you want to reward us? And I think it's found in that passage about praying. What does it say in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed, honoured, adored. That is what we desire for God. I want God's name, God himself, to be hallowed. In the lives of believers, in the lives of the church, and in the lives of people in the world. So we can pray anything that covers that. We can pray about that God's name might be hallowed. The second thing is that it goes, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come where? On earth, as it is in heaven. So anything to do with God's kingdom coming down on this earth is of God. Because that's what Jesus taught us to pray. And so in our fasting and pursuit of God, to pray that, oh Lord, I pray your kingdom come in Blackburn. Your kingdom come more in my life. The third thing, I have to say it all the way through, because I can't. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should pray. I want to see God's will done on earth. In believers' lives, in the life of the church, and in the people as yet outside of the church. As you can see, I'm a bit passionate about this. Because I do believe that fasting and praying are lost entities to some extent in this church. And there are these two areas of our lives spiritually, and Jesus endorses them. So why don't we do them more and more? You know, God will bless you if you, by faith, step out in faith
and fast before him. You know, I could say, hey, I'm going to fast from Facebook. But my wife will tell you, Andy never goes on Facebook. See? So for me, that's not a problem. Okay? And I could see the shock on people's faces. What? You don't do Facebook? You live your life without Facebook? But it hasn't got a hold on me. Right? But other things. And I just so want to encourage you. If you've never tried fasting and praying, don't ask God for a bolt of lightning. Just read it in Matthew 6 and do it. And meet with others. That's good. You know, get your motive right. Don't be a hypocrite so I can be seen. But fast. Feast on God. You'll be better. If that's the right thing to say. You'll feel better, and it's not based on feelings. But you say, Lord, you are so much the Lord in my life. Now, it's so easy for me to stand up here and say this, but Lynn is going to be thinking, 35 days, and? Well, you'll lose a few pounds. You need to. Okay. So it will be healthy for me. But I'm more bothered about spiritual health, aren't you? It'll do you good, but it does the kingdom good. And it's just got to bring glory to God. That's the chief aim in all of this. I actually went through the book of the Old Testament, not by book, but looked up, and they were all doing it. They were all fasting and praying. All right? When there was a crisis, when they were seeking God's, all kinds of ways and situations. So it's not new. It might be new for you. So can I commit us all, and may I apologize for the time? Sorry about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you see each one of our hearts here today. You know whether we've fasted before, or whether this is going a new thing. Lord, the prophet Isaiah said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not see it? You want to do new things in our hearts. You want us to realize how utterly dependent we are upon you. And Lord, I just want to pray for everyone here and in the church, to even those who aren't here today. I want to pray, Lord, that as they seek you in fasting and praying, oh Lord, I want you to come down upon them in a mighty way. I want you to meet each person individually. But I want them to be some public, some corporate outpouring of your glory upon this church. I want it to be a mighty new thing, a new spirit that pervades this place. Because, Lord, they are hungry for you. They want to serve you. They want to reach out to the lost for you. Lord Jesus, you were the one who said, my food is to do the work of him who sent me and to bring it to completion. Oh Lord, our food is to do your will, and you will bring it to completion. Oh Lord, I pray sustain my brothers and sisters here through these next 5 weeks. I want there to be more testimonies of stop it's and do it's and healings to just be reported more and more from this church. And I know, Lord, it is because you are sovereign, because you are Lord, and you are Saviour, Jesus. In your mighty name I pray. Amen.
Go on, then. Thank you, man. I'm going to finish there. If people could move the chairs to the side, we need two rows facing outwards at the front, two rows facing outwards from this each side. That would be really useful for people sitting down. You've all got one of these on your chair. Yeah, it's really good to think we'll all be praying about the same thing for the next 35 days. Yeah? So tomorrow, we're praying for salvations. What a good start. Yeah? And if you need any prayer for anything, please just seek somebody out to pray with you. That's fine. Okay? Boys, I should be up and ready. Thank you very much.